Beloved, our sermon text for today comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Luke, from the 12th chapter, starting at the 32nd verse and going through verse 40. Luke 12, 32 to 40. May you hear the word that God has for you this day. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell all your belongings and give the money to the poor. Provide for yourselves purses that don't wear out, and save your riches in heaven, where they will never decrease, because no thief can get to them, and no moth can destroy them. For your heart will always be where your riches are. Be ready for whatever comes, dressed for action and with your lamps lit, like servants who are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. When he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him at once. How happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready when he returns. I tell you, he will take off his coat, have them sit down, and will wait on them. How happy they are if he finds them ready, even if he should come at midnight or even later. And you can be sure that if the owner of a house knew the time when the thief would come, he would not let the thief break into his house. And you, too, must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I pastored a church in Illinois right out of seminary. There was a fellow pastor in that same presbytery who served two congregations. Now, those of you who remember Reverend Swinney are familiar with that kind of arrangement. This fellow pastor in Illinois was also a volunteer fireman. Two churches, volunteer fireman. Did I say he was motivated? This is a motivated man. I never did ask him, though, what happened if his pager went off during worship at one or the other of his two churches. Maybe that never happened. Firemen, police officers, EMTs, soldiers, sailors, musicians, always practicing. Even if you never were a fireman or a soldier or a musician, it's not as if you aren't familiar with practice. You had your school exercises, endless pages of multiplication and division, fractions, learning cursive, dependent and independent clauses, Spanish conjugations, and so on and so on. If you played any sport, you had to practice. Now, we didn't exactly enjoy all the drills. Maybe you just wanted to get into the game. Practice. Heck with that. Into the game. Get into the fire. Get into the recital. Now, if you never practiced, how would the game go for you, the recital? If you never practiced, what sort of a firefighter would you be? Even firefighters with hundreds of hours of experience, even athletes who have trained and trained, are still challenged, sometimes to their utmost. And others still falter, still make mistakes. God willing, they can learn from that. Mistakes and stumbles can be part of our training too, if we have the heart and mind to accept responsibility and amend what needs amending. We will need help doing that. Preparedness, proficiency. We don't know when we will be called upon, so we must be ready to be called upon at any time. This is what Jesus is talking about. We're taught that Jesus could return at any time. That's true. That shouldn't be cause for fear. Oh no, not today, Lord, please not today. It shouldn't be cause for fear, but for hope and for joy, because when Jesus returns, it will be to set everything right, to do perfect justice, and to bring us into the full glory of the kingdom come. He could return at any time. My sense is that it will not be soon. I'm not moved by the cable preachers with their charts and graphics, their allegories and countdown clocks. Whether Jesus will return soon or far into the future, beyond the lifetimes even of our great-grandchildren, really isn't the point. The point is that we do not know when that day will be. This presents us with a choice. We can practice expecting His return, living for His return, or we can goof off and mess around and not concern ourselves about it. It seems obvious that we should be practicing. Are we, though? Let's not be anxious about the faith or our discipleship or Christ's promised return. Let's not be nonchalant about them either. Jesus tells His disciples that it is God's pleasure, His will, His plan, His delight, His promise to give us the kingdom. The kingdom will come. Christ will return. He will lead into His kingdom those who are prepared for it. Those who are not prepared for it have a less certain outcome to contend with. Jesus has some advice for those expecting the kingdom. Live focused on your wealth in heaven. Store up treasure for yourselves there. Here all things are perishable. There your treasure is imperishable. There are times when Jesus seems to speak of our acts as our treasure. When we feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, clothe those who lack adequate clothing, open our homes to those who have no home, no shelter. I think He means these things both personally and corporately. Organizations already do this sort of work very effectively, but not very personally. When you give food to a hungry person, when you personally bless the poor, you are connecting with that person. You're establishing a human point of contact between that person and the grace of God. This is a most Christ-like thing. Our acts of blessing may be counted as treasure in heaven, but to my Reformed Calvinist ear, that way of looking at what Jesus says doesn't seem complete. What is our treasure? Our deeds? Our acts? Are our deeds our most precious possession, our treasure? No, surely not. Love? Is love our most treasured possession? We want to say yes right away, but the answer is still no. We love all sorts of things and people, but we might not love them in just the right way for just the right reasons. We have to practice love, too. Isn't that strange? Surely love just comes naturally. Beloved, does love require no work? Those of you who've been together for even 10 years, does love require no work? Infatuated love, fickle love, doesn't. Love that is infatuated and fickle isn't really love. Does love require no practice? And where do we go? To whom do we turn to learn how to love? The kid said, it's God. Yes, God, Jesus. So is our treasure love, or is our treasure the one who truly shows us how to love truly? When Jesus tells us to focus on our wealth, our treasure in heaven, I suspect He means God. Focus your lives upon God. Rely fully upon Him. Bank upon Him, your true and only treasure, your true and only wealth, imperishable in heaven, who has promised the kingdom to those who have prepared themselves by practicing love for whom? Others? That's important, but we can love others in all sorts of wrong and imperfect ways. We can. We do. We read about it in the news all the time. No, the kingdom comes to those who have prepared themselves by practicing love for God. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. True that. What is your treasure? Your life? Your spouse? No, that couldn't be. Your children, your career, your accomplishments? We can take pleasure in all of these. It's not wrong to take pleasure in these, but don't get so wrapped up in any of them that you begin to lose sight of God, lose touch with God, God's word, God's call and claim upon you who have claimed Christ. We lose sight, lose touch when we cease to practice love for God. We grow complacent. Jesus loves me, this I know, and that's all I need to know. If that's as far as your faith goes, I have to tell you, it hasn't gone very far. Jesus forgives, and Jesus will always forgive. If that's the sum of your knowledge of the faith, I have to tell you, for your own good, your knowledge hasn't gone very far. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but what does Jesus say? How does he finish that very significant sentence? But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Elsewhere he asks, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? When the alarm comes at the firehouse, what happens next depends in large part upon how well the firefighters have been trained, which is to say, it depends on how often and how seriously they practice. How seriously and how often they practice has a lot to do with how much they want to be good firefighters. Here's another illustration. It's 9:50 p.m. The restaurant has been slow all day, dead really, no customers to speak of. The four servers are joking, talking, checking their phones, not really paying attention to the dining area. No one's there, and the restaurant's just about to close for the night. The host is already closing out the register. The busboy's sneaking a piece of cake from the cooler. The chef's having a cigarette out back. The dishwasher's calling out for anybody to tell him if it's time to go. Stuck away back there in the back corner of the kitchen. Where is everybody? One of the servers decides she might as well start getting the glasses off the tables. She asks one of her fellow servers if he'd get the napkins and silverware picked up. They're in the midst of doing this when a customer comes in. Somebody could get tipped tonight after all. The host is irritated. He just closed out the register. So he takes his time acknowledging the customer. If the host were just rude enough, the customer might leave, which would make the host's life a lot easier. But the customer comes up to the host and asks to be seated. Well, in that case, which of the servers will get the table? Each of them is sort of hoping it won't be him, won't be her. They're ready to go. It's time to hit the bars, have some drinks, have some cigarettes, some jokes, and innuendo before they stagger off for the night. The host seats the customer at the table of the server he likes the least. A little punishment. Where's that busboy? They catch him with a mouthful of cake again. Pour some water into the customer's glass, you good-for-nothing thief. Sullen, he goes, spills some water as he pours, doesn't apologize or even try to blot the spill. The chef has to get called back in. He was in the middle of a phone call to one of his lady friends. Now his plans for the evening have been ruined. The order comes in. The chef throws it together, throws it on the plate, and calls out a little too loudly, "Order up!" He can be heard out in the dining area. As the server brings the plate to the table, she looks at her watch and asks if the customer will have anything else before he's even had a bite of what he's ordered. She stops by a couple of minutes later and gives him his check. The next day, at the start of the dinner service, that same customer comes back. He introduces himself. He's the owner. He'd flown in last night. Now he wanted to share some of his thoughts. readiness, even if it is quite late, readiness, alert, watchful, prompt. Jesus urges, encourages us to be ready, prompt, prepared. He speaks of a thief who's going to come. What's that about? Is Jesus a thief? No. Different scenario, same message. Preparedness, readiness, watchfulness. But if we aren't ready, aren't watchful, if we aren't prepared, a thief may indeed come and plunder our treasure, what we had considered our treasure anyway. Sin comes, prowling, prodding, probing. Of course we don't want sin to break in and plunder us. Then we let sin in. It gets in somehow, and sin plunders us. We either make a habit of practicing sin, or by grace, through the power of the Spirit, we grow in the habit of practicing love for God. How do we practice this? Your being here as regularly as you are able is one of the best ways to practice this love for God. Worship forms us and supports us. My hope is that we're mature enough in the faith to know that worship is not about us. Worship is what we give to God, where we glorify God through our prayers, through our song, and through the celebration of word and sacraments. We're here to do something, give something to God, for God. We also know that, yes, we are looking for something in worship, something to help us leave with a feeling, a thought, something to hold on to ponder, maybe to share, to wrestle with, something for which we may give thanks to God later in the week. We are called to give, and we want to get, too. We're all human here. Worship is the main way in which we put our love for God into practice. Self-examination and prayer, this is another way. Making regular time for God's Word to get into it, hear it, and to be shaped in God's Word, this is yet another way to practice love for God. You know other ways too, but have you been availing yourselves? Have you been practicing those ways? Preparedness, proficiency, and prayer in Christ through the ability of the Holy Spirit who accomplishes in us what we cannot accomplish by ourselves. Beloved, it's about living like you want to get there. And to Jesus Christ who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests of His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever.